What's up, guys?
Yo, what's up?
Happy Friday again. We're failing at this.
We are failing. Remember the last episode we talked about discipline? No. We've had a crazy week.
I physically was not in the state of New Jersey Wednesday.
That's right. So you were in
Las Vegas.
Not for fun.
No, for work. We got to go over to the Strip for a little bit.
You did not get to see Usher.
No. His residency restarted that evening. Before we were flying out, and tickets started at $950.
Nope.
So that was a no.
Our jobs do not pay us that much.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But no, it was a good trip, quick trip. Got done what we needed to get done. We're hosting a conference there the end of January. So I went to go check out the location we're having it, do some planning, check out hotels, all of that fun stuff. But it was nice to just pick up and get out of there. The things that suck though is, I had big plans.
Big plans.
Big plans.
You always do.
Flying out there, 5 hours on a flight. I was like, I'm going to get so much work done. I even warned our staff. I said, I'm going to be blowing up your email, but like, if it's not your working hours, please don't answer it. I'm just 5 hours uninterrupted. And the Wi-Fi did not work there on the flight out. And then on the way home, it worked for like an hour, in addition to like the most turbulent flight I've ever been on. So
shout out American Airlines.
Like, what is up with your Wi-Fi?
I mean, relax. Like, I remember there's a comedian, I forget his name, but he was talking about how like everything's amazing and we're still complaining. Like,
yeah.
Remember, well, we didn't have Wi-Fi at one point.
And
in the
flip side is I read an entire book on the way there. and I was able to get a little bit done, but it was just like, come on. But
remember you were talking about, you saw this older lady sitting there.
Yo. Okay. So we're flying there and I have the window seat and the middle seat was open, which is amazing. Like, that's always a plus, but the lady in
we call that ghetto first class.
Yeah. The lady in the aisle seat, was this older lady. My phone just fell. And I was like, she literally sat the entire flight. She did not read. She did not watch anything. She didn't sleep. She just literally sat there. And I was like, yo.
That's what they used to do. I don't know why.
But like, she didn't talk to anybody.
Humans
nothing.
Did that.
But I'm like, could I have sat there for 5 hours?
Heck yeah, I could.
Not sleeping.
I mean, I probably would fall
asleep. You fall asleep the second you get on a plane. Yeah, not sleeping, not talking, reading.
I don't need
nothing.
Entertainment.
That is like my personal idea of hell. That's what I imagine hell to be like. Go sit here and do nothing and talk to no one for 5 hours. But no, so we're here on a Friday recording this. We're still getting it done regardless. I'm repping my team today. If you're on YouTube, the NLDS champions, we're dancing on our own.
Yeah, you are.
It's a great time to be a Philly fan. Eagles are doing good. Phillies are doing good. And hopefully when this airs next Wednesday, that will still be the case. I don't want to jinx it because did we do this podcast last year?
No. Did we?
I think it was Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking a big game and then,
right.
You know.
You lost. Still not a Phillies fan, but I've been supportive.
He has. He's been high-fiving. Actually, I'm going to throw you under the bus.
I don't believe this happened.
This happened.
Sometimes Jill makes crap up in her head.
No, this was such a pivotal moment in our marriage.
I'm not saying she's lying, but she makes up stuff in her head.
No, shut up. This was such a pivotal moment in our marriage. It absolutely happened. Last week during the Eagles game, it was an interception, and we were running, and Mike goes, "We got it," and high-fived me, and I was like,
No, I did not.
He did, and he was high-fiving us for the Phillies. He's been cheering for the Phillies.
I'm a depressed, loyal Jets fan.
Oh, no. He said we.
For the record.
In regards to the
Eagles. I don't remember me saying we.
And it was just, I think my love for you got that much deeper in that moment. I was just like, we finally made it.
Nope.
I am complete. Nope. My life is complete. My husband just said we about the Eagles.
Uh-uh.
But All right. Never. So we could talk forever, but we coming into today, because today has been such, or this week has just been such a dumpster fire. Like, if we're honest, we were like, what are we going to talk about? And I'm like, I don't know. And we came up with this idea to make a stack of questions. If you're watching us on YouTube, you see this stack of index cards, bunch of questions that we're just going to mix up, and we're going to pull a question and we're going to answer it on the spot. Mike does not even know what any of the questions are.
No, I don't.
My handwriting is extremely messy on him because it's Friday and we don't write on Fridays either.
But we so get an opportunity to have spontaneous wisdom.
Yes, but hopefully he'll be able to read it for the questions that he pulls for me. But we have to answer it, and it's on the spot, and it's unrehearsed. It's totally real.
Totally real.
But you're going first, so I'm going to pick one for you. Or do you want to pick it, and I'll read it? How do you want to do this?
I'll pick it, and then... Wait, when you say I'm going first, that means...
I'm going to ask you. You're answering.
Oh, I'm answering.
Yeah, you're picking...
Just, no, just pick.
You want me to pick one for you?
Just pick.
Okay. All right. Dun, dun, dun. And these questions are about life, marriage, parenting, and working together.
Okay.
So it could be anything.
All right.
So, Mike, your question is...
Why do you change the tone of your voice, you weirdo?
How can we continue to grow and evolve as a couple over the years?
I think the only way to do that is to remain teachable,
mm-hmm.
correctable,
mm-hmm.
and lean into confrontation.
Ooh, why the face when you said that?
Because
he like cringed as he said it.
Because I think it's healthy. Like, I think healthy couples, they deal with conflict quickly and efficiently,
mm-hmm.
right? No, immediately and efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Couples that don't, things blow up real quick.
Yeah.
So to nip it in the bud in an honest and honorable way quickly helps each other evolve. None of that sticks mm-hmm. unless you hit those other two where you're like, you're teachable and you're correctable, right?
Yeah.
You own your stuff.
Yeah.
And to also learn that two people can own their stuff at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. So get rid of the whole like, I need to win this argument.
Yeah.
I think that's just, it's immature.
Yeah.
You bring immaturity into your marriage when you have to win the argument or win. It's not about winning. It's like, how do we both walk away better?
Yeah.
Right. And so if you don't do that, I think it's very difficult for any marriage to evolve. And it's said that the love hormone in your brain is released, obviously, when you're having sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's released at childbirth,
mm-hmm.
For the, you know, the woman.
And all the childbirth you're giving over there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also released when you're growing together.
Mm.
So if you could focus on like growing as much as you focus on intimacy,
mm-hmm.
I think that's how you evolve as a couple.
So let's go under the hood. We'll be, 'cause this is too real.
Okay.
So we fought this week. We fight. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine?
I won.
They fight. There was no winner.
I'm just kidding.
Talking about handling things immediately and efficiently, I'm going to throw myself under the bus.
Hmm.
I've been like really stressed out lately.
Yeah.
And I haven't really been honest with you. Not that I haven't been honest. I just haven't spoken to you about it.
You haven't been open.
Yes. I've just been like internally processing and stressing.
Yeah.
And it just started to show its head in different areas. And we find it like we were arguing, and at the end of the argument, it came out like, I'm really stressed out. And I didn't tell you how stressed out I was. And when I finally like just shared everything that I was going through, it just, I think it made things more understandable.
Yeah.
In the way we were both acting.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just easier just to say, yo, I'm stressed out right now. This is all the stuff I'm stressing out about, so that you can wear that together as a couple and flesh that out. And sometimes it's like I've shared on this podcast before. Sometimes it just takes me like word vomiting everything I'm thinking and feeling just to get it out. And then I feel better. But internalizing it, like your spouse sees that.
Right.
They recognize there's something. You said it to me this morning. You're like, what are you stressing out about right now? Because you could just tell that I was. And yeah. I was,
mm-hmm.
But sometimes for me, I internalize my stress.
Yeah.
And then it eats away at me, and then it makes me irritable and snippy and sometimes like flighty too. Like, yeah. I'm just not all there. But yeah.
It's the, you know, I had an accounting teacher once tell me that he called it the miracle of compound interest, right? How like, it's just a miracle how things just grow when it comes to compound interest. And I think there's compound interest with frustrations in relationships.
Yeah.
And so if you don't deal with it immediately and efficiently, it just compounds. And so like in your head, you're thinking, I'm stressed out. I don't want to tell him I'm stressed out.
Because I don't want to stress you out.
Right. But that annoys me. That's annoying me. Why does he know? He has to know how stressed out I am. Why is he doing this? Keeps on annoying me. And it keeps on compounding and building up.
Yeah. Right?
And it creates a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah. Word.
That's my answer. Give me that stack. Stickety stack stack. All right.
So corny.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
And I'm just hoping and praying that I could read your...
My handwriting?
Handwriting.
It gets worse as I wrote them, so...
Okay.
Your face.
No, because it took me a while to like calibrate the letters here. Okay. Because this is how I really wrote it. I read it as, how can we support each other's cancer goals? But it's not cancer goals. It's career goals. But it looks like you're... And yeah, anyway.
It's Friday.
Yeah. How can we support each other's career goals and ambitions?
Well, I think I don't know that I'm going to give like practical advice here, because I think it's something within us that we're just like naturally very supportive of each other. Like we play team really well.
Most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah. But like, if there's anything that I've ever wanted to do, you're like, all right, how can I help you? What can I do to make your life easier? What can I do to assist you in that? Like, da, 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 da. And I think that that's something that's, and vice versa, will take on the extra work so that the person, like this week I was in Vegas, like you're driving around in football, you're doing this, you're doing that, like you're doing whatever needs to get done so that I can go off and do my thing and vice versa. I think because we genuinely love and want the best for each other, it's a non-issue. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for us. But how would you help somebody who doesn't naturally do that or innately do that? Like, if you say we have a couple in front of us and they're struggling with supporting each other's goals and ambitions, what would you tell them?
I would ask them what the real issue is.
That's good.
Because, like I said, we have a genuine love and admiration for each other, and we want the best for each other. And I think in any partnership, what's the real issue? Like, number one, do they have an issue with the thing the other person's doing? Are they not on board with that or whatever? Or is there something underneath, a problem underneath in the relationship that they're both avoiding? And this is just how it's showing itself, know?
I'm here to help you complete your dreams, not compete with your dreams.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Good.
All right. Pass them back, big fella. How many of these are we doing?
As many as we can in 30 minutes.
Okay, all right.
Are there really 21 questions?
Yeah, it's 50 Cent.
50 Cent has 21 questions, and they're all about us.
Oh, how can we better balance our professional lives with our personal lives? This was part of our argument this week.
You couldn't take that card out of the whole...
No, I thought I was like, this is perfect. I hope he gets this one.
You probably marked it intentionally.
There's a little edge.
So how do we better balance...
our professional lives with our personal lives.
With our personal lives. Okay. Sometimes the best doctors make the worst patients. So I have the answers. Doesn't mean I... necessarily perfected what I preached.
We're working on it though.
I'm practicing. I think the first thing is to together establish boundaries. Boundaries, not borders. I mean, here's what I mean by that. Boundaries help protect both sides, right? There's boundaries between states. But you could cross those boundaries when it's necessary, right? where borders are, there's a border between Mexico and the United States, right? Yeah. And there's restrictions to those borders, right? Mm-hmm. So I think if you set up boundaries, there are sometimes where those boundaries have to be crossed for necessary events, mm-hmm. emergencies, mm-hmm. those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so to understand that, yes, this is the standard for which we live in, mm-hmm. but there's grace when we have to cross those boundaries for specific reasons that are agreed upon. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So because boundaries serve each side, but borders restrict anyone from coming in and coming out. Mm-hmm. And so there are times where, we're supposed to have the boundary of, we're not going to receive or we do work email, past a certain time, or we're not going to talk about work and those kind of things. But if you're stressed out that week about something that's work related, mm-hmm. We're going to cross that boundary mm-hmm. to better serve you in that moment. Yeah. Right. I can't dismiss your feelings mm-hmm. and go, nope.
We're on 6 o'clock time now.
We're on personal time. We can't do that. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I'll help you tomorrow at 9. You know what I mean? That's not beneficial. So to understand it, you have to set the boundaries and then keep the boundaries.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying to be flaky on the boundaries, but just know that there's a difference between a boundary and a border. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that maintains balance is to have the vision to get down in any marriage and sit down and write your vision, your values, and your goals for the family together. Mm-hmm. That, I believe, creates alignment mm-hmm. towards those things. And that alignment helps you balance things out, right? Mm-hmm. It helps your yes be, stay strong. Mm-hmm. It helps your no get stronger mm-hmm. when you say no to certain things and yes to certain things. Because I think things get off balance when you are constantly saying yes to stuff you shouldn't say yes to.
Yeah.
So that throws things off balance. And I would say the last thing too is to constantly have an alignment together, right? This is fresh, and this is something that you and I haven't done in a while. But I'm kind of hypocritical because I tell couples that I'm counseling this all the time to have vision alignment dates at least once a quarter, mm-hmm. right? So just don't, you're not talking about emergency stuff. You're not talking about this. It's just keep yourselves on track. Hey, where are we with our goals? Where are we with our goals financially? Where are we with our goals in regards to our physical health? Mm-hmm. Where are we with our goals with our kids, mm-hmm. with our careers? And to have go out and make it a nice date, a meal, sit down and discuss, hey, where are we with this? Because that just brings alignment back. Because life will take you off course. You will have distractions. You will have tangents. Yeah. But so just build it into your calendar. Once a quarter, we're going to have a vision alignment date.
Yeah.
And make it a priority.
That's good. That's good. I like that. All right. Where are we at with time?
20 minutes already.
Wow.
Yeah, nuts.
We did what, 3 questions?
If that.
What does that say about us?
We just got a lot of knowledge to share.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
So if you like this episode, we'll continue it. If the we won't finish the questions if you don't watch this episode. Okay. I don't like this question.
Okay.
Should I ask it anyway?
I don't know.
I don't know. No, I'm in control. I don't like that question.
I thought we had to ask it.
All right, all right.
That was the rule.
All right, all right, all right.
Why did are you not going to like my answer to it? Is that what it is?
No, it's not that. I just anyway, ready?
Yeah.
What is your philosophy on finding happiness and fulfillment in life?
Oh, I know why you don't like this question, but this is something that I've actually really been pondering this past year. Because when things are good, it's like, oh, I'm happy. But when things are stressful or things are bad, like, do we really lose that happiness? Do you know what I mean? Like, does one thing distract from everything else that's good in your life?
It does, but it shouldn't.
Yes. Mm. So is it true happiness if one little thing can destroy that?
Yeah.
And I know you don't like this question because... This is about me, though. I'm not going to talk about you. You can add your own commentary if you want. But for me, I've abandoned the thought that once I get to this, then I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
Because you miss out on so much along the way. And I think that if you don't enjoy the process, you're not going to appreciate it. So when you do arrive at whatever that look, whatever your definition of arrival is, you're not going to, it's not going to be arrival in the sense that it's always been in your head.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So for me, just taking pleasure in the little things, practicing gratitude. I know that sounds so cheesy anymore, but like, it's so true. Like, how can you know what truly makes you happy if you're not grateful? Like, yeah, I think that's my, just being happy with the little things, knowing that you're not ever going to arrive. I know that's something that people, well, I'm going to succeed. And then they get to that level and it's like, then they want more. So like, what is true success? And for me, true success is enjoying my life, loving the people around me, serving the people around me, and just being a good person. And if I can do those things, that's happiness for me. And I don't need to be at any certain level in order to do that. So I know that if that is my standard, I'll be happy no matter where I am.
Wow. Good.
Yeah. Do you have any comments on this?
I am evolving in this too. So you caught me in the middle of evolving in this. We are working on a couple programs. Talked about this, about helping people discover their purpose in life. And I'm evolving in this. So maybe next year you might hear me say something different. But I think this stepping stone towards whatever I'm landing on in this area is an important stepping stone. But I think today, if you talk about life fulfillment, I'm letting go of my previous scoreboard. Notice I said letting. I'm not there yet. My previous scoreboard was success in terms of, you know, financial stability, you know, having a bunch of leaders under me. You know, our kids, you know, I don't care about being wealthy, but like, I want to set up my kids so that they're wealthy, right? Or close to financial health. Like, honestly, like, you know, how many people are attending church and all that other stuff. Like, you know, how well did I, my preaching and teaching and leading, like that used to be my old scoreboard. I'm learning to let that go because I'm learning that you can't stop life from happening to you. Like, and I just refuse to believe that as you're pursuing those things, when life throws you a curveball and they're misfortunes, not mistakes. Like, I didn't cause some of these things to happen. Some of them I did, but the setbacks that come, they're just misfortunate things. And sometimes, especially in current history at the time of this recording, you know, we have like, you know, the war going on in Israel, there's a war going on in Ukraine. Like there are people that have it way worse than I do today.
Yeah.
And so I need to just chill with the whole, like, me being completely insatiable. So my scoreboard's changing. All that to say, my scoreboard's changing. And, cause I'm addicted to alliteration. fulfillment is right now for me, these three things. It's love, legacy, and loyalty. So I gotta, before I lay my head down to bed, did I love well today? Right? That's the number one question, because
I love that.
If I failed or made a mistake today, but it was because I was acting out of love, then I still won. Right? Even though the outcome didn't yield the best results for me or expected results, did I love well? Legacy, you know, the Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that doesn't mean, like, when I say inheritance, I'm not even talking about just finances. Like, am I leaving that legacy of love? Did I today show my boys an example that they could pass it on to their children? to me, that's legacy. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is loyalty. Was I just, and I don't think loyalty can never be demanded. It needs to be offered. Mm. Whenever loyalty is demanded, that means that's when it's toxic. But when you're offering that loyalty. And so was I loyal? Was I obedient to the assignments that were in front of me today? Mm-hmm. If I could, in my head, if I could check the box on those three things, then I tell myself, even though I don't, your feelings don't care about your future.
Yeah.
So my feelings might, I know, and I feel fulfilled, mm-hmm. but I tell myself, you fulfilled the day mm-hmm. because you loved, you worked on leaving a legacy, and you were loyal to the task that was at hand.
I take that a lot. It reminds me, I just started this book called The Comfort Crisis, and I was actually sharing it with you this morning, a passage from it where they were talking about problem creep and how even in the absence of problems, people will create problems just to make themselves feel comfortable because the standard is having problems. But like, what if we flip the script on that? And what if the standard was happiness and we found ways to get to experience joy even in the little things? And so instead of problem creep, let's call it joy burst, something like that. I don't know. But like, what if we flip the script? Because we're so comfortable with the negative nowadays, and we're so comfortable with problems. And I even said it to you this morning, the thing that I was stressing out about, I said, it's a molehill, it's not a mountain, because some days you may feel like everything is mountains when it's actually not. We overinflate things. And that really subtracts from the happiness and the fulfillment that we have so accessible around us. There are so many, like, things could be so much worse.
Yeah.
So much worse. But we focus on those negative things. And I think that mindset switch of, I love that. Did I love well today? Like, if everyone laid their head at night and asked themselves that question and used that as their mission for the next day, could you imagine?
Yeah.
That'd be wild.
Yeah. That'd be a better world.
Yeah.
I think we have time for one more question.
Okay.
So, and we'll make it quick.
Okay.
I hope. We have about 2.5 minutes. Get a good one.
I don't, that's.
No.
It's repetitive of something we already answered.
I'm over here yelling at you on camera. No.
Aw. What are your favorite memories of our time together so far?
What are memories?
Memories.
What are our favorite memories?
What are your favorite memories of our time together so far, like us as a couple?
Wow. So we're going to end all mushy?
Yeah.
Ew.
Let's just get all in there.
Ew.
The end mush.
Mushy.
I can switch it if you want a different question.
Yeah, let me think. Buy me some time. What's your favorite memory?
It's not a typical, like, it's not what you would consider, like, you would be like, yeah, that's probably a favorite memory. In the beginning of our marriage, we had a situation that was extremely stressful a month into our marriage. It felt like an attack at the time.
It wasn't internal.
No, it was not internal. It was an external thing. And it's something that I think would have really like stressed some couples out. And it's a favorite memory for me because it really made us stronger. 'Cause we did get married very quickly. And some people questioned that, and this issue on top of it, like if we weren't what we said we were, I think it would have ripped us apart, but it was actually like, I think it strengthened us more than like most things that have happened in our marriage. And for me, that's a favorite memory.
Mm. So can I say something? It's weird.
Okay.
We have a picture and it's, we're in, Tuckerton, and the picture is you and I sitting down together, just looking at each other.
Oh, was it when we did that vow renewal?
Yes.
I have that long like floral dress on.
Yes, of course you associate memories with fashion.
I always know what I'm wearing.
That picture, because I remember that moment, and in that moment, it was just us, just in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and you were in your happy place, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, near the water, the boat's behind us. You know, we were just celebrating love that day for mm-hmm. a vow renewal. And it was just a simple moment So I think my favorite moments are just the simple moments where you and I could just be without the world calling for our attention and things interfering. Like, there's never been a moment where I look at that picture and don't smile.
That's so cute. I would put it on the wall if I was the type to put pictures around the house, but I'm not.
Yeah, you're not.
I actually just put a picture out on our entry table like maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And it's our wedding picture with the boys.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Chase's head is photoshopped onto that picture.
Because he had an ear infection.
He had an ear infection. He had cotton in his ear. And the person that took pictures just photoshopped his head from a different picture on it. And I didn't know this for like at least a year or two into our marriage that had happened. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's crazy.
His head's slightly bigger.
Yeah.
You could barely tell though.
Yeah. But
yeah, so I think that's, it's the times where
you'll have to like,
things are calm and simple.
You'll have to like overlay that picture onto the YouTube version of this so people can see it.
Yeah.
So cool. It's funny because we're actually kind of facing each other like this in that picture too.
Right.
You're so sweet.
But I think, is my hand on your knee?
I think so.
Yeah, my hand's on your knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Say it again.
Look at us.
All right, y'all. That is all we have for today. If you like this episode, let us know and maybe we'll do, we had, what did we do? 5, 6 questions? I have 3.
I have 2.
Okay, so we did 5. So there's 16 more questions. Not going to knock them out in one episode, but we could at one point circle back to this if you'd like. But thank you for watching. When you get a moment, be sure to follow the podcast, subscribe to us on YouTube, say hey. You see that? Ring the bell. Yeah, share it. You know what to do.
You know what to do.
But we will see you back here next Wednesday. Too real.
Peace.
Bye.